who will be the one, or how do they determine the, let's say, the personality of the robot whenever that's programmed into it? Will it be an individual, a group of people? Will it have personalities from 50 different people? How will that work?
Well, I think that you cannot program a personality into something. It has to develop on its own. And I think, you know, as I do believe that our body is essential to who we are, even if you build identical machines, from the moment you would switch them on, they will have different developments. And if we really build robots that learn like us from an early birth, from an early childhood stage on, they all will have different experiences and therefore will all be different. So I think a personality develops and is not something you can in any way program.
When they begin to really build these robots to the point that we're talking about in your book, God and the Machine, and they're getting darn close now, will technical parts of a robot mimic organic biological parts of a human? And by that I mean, you know, they'll have arms, we've got arms, they've got, of course, they're made differently, but they still function the way ours would. Legs would be the same. Their brains might have special chips for memory and things like that. We've got our brain. How close will it duplicate a human being, other than it's technical?
Well, you know, you ask a very good question. I'm, as a theologian, I'm mostly interested in humans, right?
Sure.
And so when you ask me that question, there are two different answers to that. The one is the technical answer. The technical answer says it doesn't really matter how we build them if we really try to mimic us. What we want is an intelligent machine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we try, whatever we try, what makes sense, what makes them intelligent. That, however, does not help us to understand how we work. When we really want to try to understand how we work with the help of robots, we have to build them as close as we are. We are the way we are because we perceive the world we perceive the world. And we perceive the world we do because we can see certain things and we cannot see certain things. We can hear certain things and we cannot hear certain things, right? We can move our bodies in certain ways and we cannot move our bodies in other ways. Cockroaches are smart, ants are smart, horses are smart, we are smart, and we are all differently smart because we all have different bodies. So if we really want to build a robot that is as close to us as possible, it should have a bodily experience that is as close to us as possible.
We are getting so close to science fiction as well. I'm sure you've heard of Twilight Zone.
Yes.
And in one of my very favorite episodes, I've got a few, but one of them was called I Sing the Body Electric. And it was about a family whose mother died. And the father then went and picked up a robot to kind of replace the mother. She was more like a grandmother maid type person, but she was a robot nonetheless. And the interesting thing on about the entire episode was, as the kids got older and turned into adults, the robot stayed the same. And, you know, and this happened to have been a she robot in terms of they created it as a female. The robot just, you know, went on and did its thing for generations. And it was kind of sad at the same time to see the children say goodbye and they went on with their lives. But it's uncanny how close we're getting to this stage. How far away in terms of years are we from being able to develop robots like that?
Well, that's a very hard question. You know, when we talked early about playing God and I told you that robot building makes us very, very modest, I wasn't kidding. I mean, you know, it's kind of when I think about a robot like Kismet who had social intelligence, right, who had facial expressions, could mimic certain sounds, could mimic voice melodies, would see when what mood people were and could react appropriately and all that. I mean, that was pretty cool, but it was very, very primitive compared to anything real, I mean, anything alive yet. It's very hard to say. I think, you know, in terms of what you can see with a Honda robot, in terms of bodily movement, we are getting better all the time. In terms of emotional intelligence, that's what makes us humans so fantastic, we are probably several decades at least away.
Well, but that's still not too far.
No, it's not too far, and I think this is why I started my work, because I really have to, I was actually one big inspiration for me was the Star Trek episode, The Measure of a Man. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's one of the Next Generation's episode where where a roboticist wants to take Data apart to learn more, to learn how Data is built and then build more. And Data first is intrigued by the idea because Data feels lonely because he's the only one of his kind. And then he realized that the roboticist doesn't quite know yet how to get Data back together. And so Data says, oh, no, that's too dangerous. So he wants to resign. And then the argument goes, well, you cannot resign, you're property. Right? And then there's this big chord then on the Enterprise, and so finally the judge decides that Data has the right to resign because we have to be measured by the way we treat the creatures of our own geniuses. And I thought that was a very, very intriguing show, because that's really the question. I mean, when we come so close to building creatures that are emotional, that are social, when comes the point where we cannot switch them off anymore? And this question might be 50, even 100 years away, but we have to already start to think about those questions now. And I think also that when we think about those questions about our robotic children, it throws us back to how do we treat ourselves? I mean, how do we treat people that are in intensive care, basically machine-like? We talk about cloning, right? We're talking about cloning people as basically organ banks, right? I mean, we already are reducing humans to machines. And so I think it's very intriguing to think about the opposite. When would we actually have to treat machines as persons? Because that really shows us, you know, the intrinsic value of humanity, the intrinsic value of a person, and throws a new light on ethical dilemmas such as, for instance, cloning.